The stretch of sea between Bermuda, Puerto Rico, and Florida is haunted. It has been called the Devil's Triangle for as long as there have been sea captains to tell the tale. The oldest known story on record comes from the personal memoirs of James Everett Friot, Navy, retired. Friot was a former privateer for the United States based out of Puerto Rico. In a journal entry, dated October 7, 1812, he recalled a fateful journey through the Triangle, where he ended up spotting, and I quote, "a desolate rock in the middle of the sea, teeming with savages, the likes of which I have never seen," end quote. In 1918, the USS Cyclops disappeared with 309 men aboard. The search and rescue operation was suspiciously short. A Navy spokesman at the time said there was too great a risk of further misadventure to search any longer. The most famous and hotly contested story of them all comes from 1956. A twin-engine plane flying from Puerto Rico to Grand Bahama went off course into the heart of the Devil's Triangle. The plane was never recovered, nor were any of the 18 people on board. But there was a recording. The last moments of Flight 482 were captured in a desperate deathbed transmission from pilot Mike Kramer.
"The water's black, no cloud cover, but I've lost the sun. I can't get my bearing at all, don't know where we are. I see an island. What is that? Oh no. There's something in the water. Oh my god. I know where we are now."
What lays in the heart of the Devil's Triangle? And why has it been such a beacon for legend and lore for so long? I'm Marianne Simpson with a special investigation. This is Ghosts of the Devil's Triangle.
Drinking whiskey in the kitchen and telling scary stories around the fire. Music, monsters, and mayhem, killers, cannibals, and cults. Fearful fiction and furious fact, tall tales, and terrible truths. This is a Scary Home Companion.
Florida has always been known for its wild stories and folklore. The Faceless Bishop, for example, inspiring a wave of drug-induced face eatings. To the Skunk Ape or the Bookmen, or the Hidden Swamp Village of Freaks. And too many more to count, quite frankly. But even in a land of this much wonder, the Devil's Triangle stands out as being notably weird, notorious, and sinister. What is the secret in the depths of the Triangle? It is a mystery that has tantalized researchers and reporters for decades, and has led more than one of them to insanity and death. Such was the case with Florida-based reporter and author Virginia Silver. Ginny, as she liked to be called, disappeared in 2011. Her bizarre journey began in March of 2001, when Ginny Silver presented a news story for an evening newscast out of St. Augustine, Florida. It would be the first taste of a story that she would rapidly become addicted to.
Here is Ginny Silver with this week's weirdest crime story about a message in a bottle. Is that right, Ginny?
When young Robbie Porter saw the bottle floating in the harbor, he knew it was something special. Inside, he found a real-life message in a bottle. A leather parchment covered with scratchy handwriting and a very, very foul odor. His father called the police. The leather parchment was, in fact, human skin. The words, written in a toxic squid ink that marine biologists say has been extinct for centuries. And the message? barely legible, but chilling all the same. I has been on the island for a long time. No sun, no moon, no day, no night. Don't know how long since plane crashed. Think it is 1958 by now. I try to kill myself. It never works. Can't die here. Please rescue. Head south from... The numbers and symbols that follow are then illegible. Authorities say this is an elaborate hoax. The bottle the note was in came from the 1980s, so this message couldn't have been floating in the Atlantic since the 1950s. There has been speculation, due to the dating of the note, that it ties into the disappearance of Flight 482. But who would perpetrate such a farce, and why would they? This is Ginny Silver. Back to you, Dirk.
Ginny Silver would focus dozens of similar stories on her Weird Florida Crime segment over the next 3 years. Ultimately, this led her to publish 3 books, which all centered around the dead water in the heart of the Devil's Triangle, and a lost island known as the End of Days. Quickly, pursuit of the story was all she cared about. She became fixated at the cost of her career. And then it all fell apart with the release of her final book, The Crossing. Her former coworker was happy to comment on the situation.
You know she went crazy, right? That last book? I mean, come on, what was that? You read it? It's obviously a novel. Totally unverified. A salty sea captain who insisted to remain anonymous? Not one shred of any evidence. But she never backed down on it. Would never come clean. That's what got her fired. It wasn't the book. It was how she thought it was real.
In her book, The Crossing, Ginny tells a first-person account of chasing a Florida legend called the Bookman. She claims to have met a boat captain who took her to the center of the triangle when she saw what she called a crack in the edge of the world. This was the crossing point that became the title of her book. She disappeared soon after. Because of the scandal, people assumed Ginny Silver was just laying low for a while. In fact, she had disappeared, never to be seen again. Officially. This is from Ginny Silver's last public interview.
Everything in the book is true. I saw the island. I saw what it was. And I will find a way to show it to the world.
Stories about the Bookman are as old as the Triangle itself. In some of the stories, he is a ferryman, not unlike Charon the Boatman, who takes only a select few to the crossing point between Earth and Hell. Other stories say the Bookman is an emissary for local legend Tonton Macoot, the Stealer of Children. No matter what they say about him, every deckhand I met had some story to tell.
Sure, the Bookman's real. All that deep water hoodoo is... Look, I'm not saying it's all real. My wife's cousin lost all 3 of her kids. Lost. Like, they went away. She said it was him. Took them all at once. On his boat. Up in burlap. Yeah, I'm sure she was telling the truth. But we never went looking for him.
Out around the islands, everyone knows the Bookman. Everyone knows to turn your boat in the opposite direction, too. Have I seen him? Sure, I seen him. It's just a man. Have much to say about that. Got them what he called dreadlocks? Looks mean as hell, but yeah, just a man. If half the stories they say about him are true, there has to be something else to him. Something you can't see. Because I've known some captains. And I don't mean these weekend warrior assholes. I mean goddamn men of the water. Sea dogs. Fishermen. Lifers. And I've seen these tough guys start to panic when they see the bookman coming. Legitimate panic. They say the bookman knows how to get to places in the triangle that no one else can find. You heard about the ghost island out there, right? Bookman, he's the only one who knows how to get there. He comes and he goes, yeah. Takes people with him. Some of them want to go. Some don't. Sometimes he steals kids. Takes them up to the triangle. Then he comes back and they don't. Well, that's what they say. I'm not saying I believe it, but I heard of it. Everyone heard of it. Gotta mean something, right?
It does mean something. Ginny Silver became obsessed, but she was far from alone in her curiosity. Florida journalists have been reporting on these stories for decades in the name of local color and flair. The fact that these stories predate news media, however, means something. It gives them a weight much heavier.
The boat was found drifting in the Devil's Triangle with reports of multiple bodies on board. Police have yet to issue an official comment.
Although there were several high-profile items stolen from the art museum, something much more obscure might have been the actual target of the thieves. A set of traditional human knuckle bones that date back to the 11th century. They came from the Shona people of southern Africa, who used them in their fortune-telling. But these knuckle bones don't have any monetary value. Florida keeps getting weirder, wouldn't you say, Mandy?
A gruesome discovery rocks a prestigious retirement community to its very core. Local authorities have turned over the crime scene to federal investigators now after finding a man's body brutally disfigured. Is Florida looking at another serial killer? The feds think so.
Miraculously, the young woman survived. She was taken to Miami General and treated for extreme dehydration, exposure, blood loss, and head injuries. Thank goodness for quick action from the Coast Guard.
Only one of a recent rash of boat thefts up and down the Treasure Coast.
Has a Florida tall tale come to life? According to one local man, it wasn't his fault he rammed the pier in Riviera Bay. He says he was being chased by a notorious local ghost, the Bookman, who wanted to steal his soul. I guess his 0.35 blood alcohol level had nothing to do with it. Boaters, you be careful out there.
Online communities have embraced the mystery. Most notably, the Ghastly Ones Nightmare Forum exists as an almost encyclopedic reference to every story ever reported about the Devil's Triangle. The subject has also been popping up on true crime, horror, and conspiracy podcasts.
And we're back from commercial. Seems weird to say, I never thought I'd hear myself say our show has commercials.
I know, I hate it.
I do too. Tastes just bad in my mouth.
Anyway, this is Behind the Screams, where we dig into the scary stories behind the movies you love. I'm Denise.
Or in some cases, the movies you've never heard of. I'm Arthur.
To recap the story we have been telling you over the last few weeks, in 1988, there was a low-budget horror movie crew that went into the middle of the Devil's Triangle.
1988 is a prime year for horror, but it was a skeleton crew. This was supposed to be just a quick overnight shoot.
They were getting B-roll. They were shots of the lead actors, wide enough shots so they could just dub in the dialogue later.
Because the dialogue hadn't been written yet. The director was notorious for selling a pitch and then making up the rest of the movie as he went along. This one was called Ghost of the Devil's Triangle.
Don't let the title fool you, though. It's a slice and dice movie.
The very best of the 1988 movies. No ghost in it at all. Based on everything we've read, it was gonna be a slasher movie.
It would have been a slasher movie, but this ended up being the first and last night of production.
Yeah. The two boats were separated, and one of them got lost. Seven people, including two of the stars, missing for 2 weeks.
Well, 11 days.
11 days, 2 weeks, whatever. When it was found, only one person was on the boat. Leading man Nick Braithwaite.
Dashing leading man.
Seriously, again with this shit? every time with you. Anyway, he didn't remember the last 11 days. That's what he said, anyway. And allegedly, he had encountered some other people and had been attacked. But he couldn't say who or why.
Or he wouldn't say.
Yeah, Denise has theories. Nick claimed he had no recollection of what happened to the other, but there was blood on the boat.
A lot of blood on the boat.
Yeah. And here's the juicy part. It wasn't just blood from the six people that went missing. There were at least 23 other unique blood samples on board. Human, animal, and unknown.
Not unknown. Unclassifiable. Not only did they not know what it was, they didn't even know what it was supposed to be.
What's the difference between unknown and unclassifiable? Well, you should. You use the word. Anyway, it was a literal bloodbath.
Now there's your movie.
As many stories as I've heard, as many reports as I've read, I'm no closer to any real objective truth. It's all hearsay, rumor, and secondhand news. It becomes easier and easier to see how Jenny Silver would want to cut through the chatter and get to the heart of things. Recently, while interviewing historian and lecturer Andre Argento, I posed him the question directly.
The stories about this island in the triangle, but also on the edge of hell, have persisted for centuries. Professor Argento, is the island real?
Yes, I do believe it exists. No, it's not in the triangle. But the way to find it is. Some are unlucky enough to find it on accident. Others devote their lives to finding it on purpose.
And what do you think of all this talk of hell?
I do not know, but I would very much love to see it for myself. When I do, I promise to come back and tell you all about it.
Jenny Silver relentlessly chased down leads after hearing about a mysterious boat captain who knew how to navigate to the triangle. She spent her life savings, even started going into debt, ruined her career, all in pursuit of this woman, and eventually drove herself crazy overseeing what she had seen. And later on, TV personality Tanis Cray chased the story of Jenny Silver from a Pennsylvania prison to an asylum to the Triangle. And here I am, chasing the same story, a ghost of that story. But I'm not on a crusade. I just want to see how far I can follow this thread. This is what led me to meet a charming old sea dog down in the Florida Keys. He wished to remain anonymous, but did allow me to share his wisdom.
You see, I know a thing or two about your buying, right? The thing is, after that book came out, the captain, she up and left. Hasn't been back to the States since. Word goes, mostly stays in the lower islands, about as far off as the triangle as she can get without leaving her home water. Because she's smart. Look, lady, I usually don't let my loose lips sink ships. No matter how many gin and tonics you have. This is different. I can see you're good people. I'm still not going to tell you about the captain. I won't break the code. But I will tell you about the last guy that came here asking about her. Not long ago. Grand scheme of things. A year, maybe. Less. I don't know. But he was sitting right there, where you are now. A priest. Skinny fella, dead eyes. He asked after the captain. But thing is, he knew her name. This priest told me that she had taken him out to the triangle some years ago. He was looking to book some repeat business with her. I give him the usual, you know, nothing. Code of the sea, boys! Anyway, later on I see him leaving the marina. On this junky old boat. Guy driving the boat, he was a Haitian fella. Big gnarly dreadlocks. Lady, you ever hear of the Bookmen? So speaking friendly, I'd say you should go back to where you came. The triangle is not something you can touch without it touching you back.
My goal in all this was to find that magic bullet, that one thing, to bring the story together, to break it wide open. But it eluded me, just like it did Ginny Silver. There is no doubt a mystery in the heart of the Devil's Triangle, a dark truth waiting to be exposed. But sadly, the last two women who chased that truth went insane and then went missing. I won't be the third. Whatever the truth of this story may be, I believe it carries too heavy a cost. I'm not going to pay it. Which brings this special investigation to a close. I am Marianne Simpson, and you have been listening to A Scary Home Companion.
She was suffering from dementia brought on from severe dehydration, malnutrition, and blood loss. Tanis Cray is very lucky to be alive, but now authorities have questions for her.
Thank you for listening to another episode of A Scary Home Companion. This episode would not have been possible without the gracious input of Ben and Nancy Dolan, Scott Taft, Alex Kreider Evans, Buck Rogers, Andy Zoidberg, Dan Lilly, and Dan Jopling. Thanks to Janet Frischke Brischke for providing archival footage of Ginny Silver. This episode was produced by myself, Marianne Simpson, Jeff Davidson, and Nathaniel Arthur Hensley. This episode was sponsored by Eric Taylor. If you're interested in becoming a sponsor, please visit us at patreon.com. This episode was also sponsored by the following.
Extreme Horror Replay. Husband and wife podcasting team Ben and Nancy are hardcore fans. They like horror movies that push it to the extreme. Every episode, they dig through cinematic viscera to offer insight and commentary on some of the most intense films ever made. The Extreme Horror Replay Podcast, available through Anchor FM on all major podcasting platforms.
If you're a gamer and you're not taking advantage of free-to-play games, you're selling yourself short. Selling, free-to-play, you guys see what I did there?
Dear God.
Still funny.
No one's gonna tune in?
Yeah, it's like a dumpster fire. A dumpster fire full of skunks.
But at least the price is right. Join Scott, Jeff, and Elliot on Budget Arcade as we play, review, and rate a free-to-play game each week.
Listen every Tuesday wherever you download podcasts. And don't forget to subscribe.
Game on.
Music for the episode was provided by Dr. Dub and Daniel Birch. Special shout out to my husband for letting me take care of his baby this week. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, download, leave a review, do all the things that the kids are doing these days. Thank you.
Thank you.